Hey, welcome to the Facewalker Podcast, number 58. This week is Matt and myself's triumphant return to the podcast. We sit down with John Carman. We talk about Video Game High School, which is halfway through its six-episode season three run. We talk about how I lost my laptop in an Uber car. We talk about facial injuries. All in all, is a good return to form podcast. We hope you enjoy it. Anyway, enough of this intro. Let's get to the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, to yet another Face Rocker podcast.
We're back,
baby. Woo! Coming live at you, VGHS chalk in the middle. In the middle of VGHS's victory lap.
I don't even remember
YouTube.
What you guys look like.
What did we win?
We didn't win anything, Matt. We won the chance to see our loved ones again. In your case, the chance to hang out with your fiance. In my case, a chance to hang out with the pillows on my bed, finally. Get some sleep.
No.
You're joined
hang
today.
Out feather or down?
Feather.
Nice. Oh, they get feather. Down.
Really?
They get down.
Anyway,
that with the kill joke.
Bad puns brought to you by the Yodel family.
You guys missed these pillow-based puns. Matt is here for you. Matt and Freddie back on the podcast.
Pillow Talk is my new podcast on Face Rocker.
Joined also out. By the indomitable Des Dolly.
Hey.
And today, a little bit of John Carman from Ruby
Does Dog. A little Everybody. Bit, though, so... Don't talk too much, John.
Oh, okay. What can we talk about? It feels like it's been so long since we've been behind the mic, rocking the mic so hard. Oh, I got my laptop stolen this week. That was great.
Boy, that
okay,
sucks.
That's not a fair assessment
that's
of what
true.
Happened.
You're right. Okay, when I say stolen, what I actually mean is I left my laptop like an idiot in the back of an Uber car, at which point it got picked up by someone else.
Well, you can't blame them for that.
I don't know, man.
If I
blame myself. Information in there?
I blame myself.
They should return it if they were a good human being, a decent human.
But we are not in a world of decent human beings. We're in a world of self-centered, self-serving people. I know exactly what happened to the laptop. Let me tell you the story, though. So the thing is,
long story, is there anything more than just you left the laptop in?
Is that where this ends?
Because I feel like you told the story.
Your expression.
Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. I'm sorry that these podcasts don't go exactly the way you want.
I've heard the story.
Matt, no, you've heard it.
Did you see the look on his face when you asked him that, though?
The phrase that I think where he's like, all right, Tom, your story is like, I've heard the story. You got into the Uber.
You got into an Uber. You left your laptop. It's now gone.
Real quick, guys. Somehow Matt doesn't feel that you listen. Out there in Radio Land are sufficient to hear things that he's already
you know
heard
what
once.
You know what, Freddie?
You just
blow Matt's pants off with your amazing laptop.
Because
I know you are packing
you
know the craziest laptop tail.
I had a whole bit.
Hit us with it, son.
No details, Matt. Even Matt, you
no,
should.
No, I'm rusty. That was a super rude. Radio
Matt,
talk.
Like, Matt, you're being kind of a jerk right now.
Super rude radio talk is my other podcast coming out. I'm Rocket John.
Let me plug up Pillow Talk.
I haven't been around very much because I've been working on my other podcast, Pillow Talk.
Pillow Talk.
Super rude radio. Super rude radio talk.
Super you rude lay reviews.
Super rude reviews.
You lay a microphone on top of a pillow and just whisper to it for an hour straight until you
just
fall
hear
asleep.
You just hear pillow movements.
Hey guys, we're gonna give you guys a little preview of Matt's upcoming podcast, Pillow Talk. Here, let me just I'll do the pillow side of it.
Is anybody around here right now? No. Okay.
Play the theme song.
And that was Pillow Talk. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's it.
World's shortest.
And now I feel bad because that was probably a worse bit than your laptop bit.
Whatever.
So let's hear your laptop story.
Let me just skip to the end of it because I've got a lot of the questions.
That's
Twitter.
What I was trying to
get
because you to
every,
do.
What a dick. What a dick.
We're going hard on this guy.
This is unbelievable.
Welcome back, Freddie.
Welcome. More like
rip into that ass.
Jeez. Jeez, man, I'm just don't even feel
I'm
the same place
Logan's
no more.
Space. I'm just trying to sit in
Logan's
Logan spot.
Logan would have been
You're
inquisitive.
His energy.
He would have asked questions. He would have pushed the story
laptop
forward.
What sort of laptop
Shut
was
up,
it?
Dick. Let me just skip to the end because right. This is what I got a lot
of
questions
on.
I got a lot of questions on Twitter from this. People are like, well, Freddie, first of all, here's why I know what happened to it. Because I completely changed all my passwords. I put a credit freeze on all my stuff. Just general precautions for identity theft. Done all that. I know that someone took it and then probably gave it to their kid because I got an email the next day from Mojang saying someone's trying to reset your Minecraft password. So clearly some kid got this laptop. They're like, oh, this genius installed Minecraft. I'm going to play Minecraft and tried to open it. Couldn't get into my account. Tried to reset the password. So I know that some kid has it, which is both good and bad because on one hand, it's a kid. On the other hand, it's a kid on my laptop. Anyway, point being, everyone is asking
Do you think
me,
a kid took the Uber?
No, I think their parents probably took it and then gave it to their kid. That's
do you do not do you believe that it was that? The Uber driver? You think it was another individual?
I don't buy it's the Uber driver because his story checked out when I contacted Uber. So what happened was I got dropped off at 7 p.m. to pick up my car from service, my van from service. And the
place it was brand new. Why is it getting serviced?
Oil change. The place was closed. Totally annoying, but I missed the window for it. And he said, and I didn't realize my laptop was gone until 7:45. I called him. He said, no, not in the car anymore. And he says, I picked up three people afterwards. Maybe one of them has it. I'm like, great. Well, he doesn't have any access to that information. I contacted Uber. Uber
even if he did, he couldn't share that with
you. And Uber says, we can't share that information. I was like, well, can you verify if he picked up people within the time period that is here? They're like, yes, we can verify that there were multiple fares. I'm like, okay. So other people picked it up. It was in the back. Odds are someone yanked it and cried. That's it. Okay. Everyone's like, well, Freddie, you should contact Moja and get the IP address, and then the police will come and get your... And be able to, like, yeah.
A sting operation for a laptop. It's like that scene in Big Lebowski. He's like, we're chasing so many leads.
Also, why would Mojang just give you, Mojang, can you give me the personal information of somebody with this account?
Well, my account, trying to log into account, right? No. Well, here's the thing, right? Okay. Assuming that I could get the IP address, and by the way, I was dumb. I didn't install the lock the computer shit that you should do, and I will do from now on.
Do you have iCloud?
I did, but I thought I enabled it. I didn't. It wasn't enabled.
Oh, no.
So point is, everyone seems to have a really weird idea of how the police work on Twitter, because it's like, okay, the police, even if they had an IP address, this is how it works. IP address is assigned by time, by a set bank of IP addresses are given to ISPs. ISPs will know whose IP address it is if you have the time that they had used it. That's how the FBI tracks people down. Is they say, okay, at Friday, 12 p.m., this IP address tried to hack into so-and-so. They check the ISP. The ISP with the subpoena will say, okay, this is this user. They can tie it to who was using it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They only do this for insanely... insanely high value cases. Like, they do it when someone's trying to hack Sarah Palin's email address. They don't do it when someone took
Have they
your
seen
laptop.
Flower Warfare though? They'll be like, hey, I'm this guy.
They don't do it when. So that's the point. Everyone,
do you know who I am?
Everyone listen on Twitter.
I refuse to accept. You're just going to throw in the towel.
What can I do? There's nothing. I'm powerless in this
you
endeavor.
Hunt this individual
that kid's
down.
Probably never
you
had a laptop
justice.
Before.
Matt's trying to see the bright side of but I'm seeing the other
Freddie
side.
Freddie should have donated that laptop in the first place. And
you're YouTube rich, Freddie. Just buy another laptop. Let that kid play Minecraft. Reset the account for him, too.
Yeah, I'll give him the password.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if I could contact him.
That would be great.
Yeah. How would you contact them, though?
You can't. That's the problem. Yeah. I changed all my passwords. There was one way to contact him. And I
or just tweet it out. Be like, hey, whoever,
I know you
whoever has
it.
My laptop, here's the new password for the Minecraft account.
What was the one way?
Well, here's the one way I could have gotten contact with him, which was I had iMessage enabled. This is one of the things I thought I was doing. It's like, okay, iMessage enabled. So anybody who sends me a text message,
he will see.
He will see because it'll pop up as an alert on iMessage. So I could just nonstop send myself text messages saying, hey, I know where you live. Give this laptop back. But I don't think it would have worked.
Idle threats.
How could he even respond to you, though?
They're no longer. No, they wouldn't be able to respond.
He's no longer logged in.
I would just scare him.
Yeah.
I give him the number to call, maybe. I don't know. There's no chance. There's no chance of getting this laptop
I remember
back.
That night. It was a pretty tense moment. You called me up, and I had to change the account.
I did. Oh, here's and you know what?
/ Rocket Jump.
And to John's credit, because that computer, while logged out of that stuff, potentially has the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. But we changed all the passwords. And it was funny, because John Carman was smart, by the way. Credit to John Carman. I said, John, you need to change all the passwords that you have access to right now, because I'm not from a computer. He did that, and then he sent, and I was like, what's the new password? And John's like, should I text this to you or just write down? I was like, John Carman, thinking about the iMessage.
See, John Carman's not that smart. Yeah. John Carman's smart. He would have changed the password. It's been like, all right, Freddie, 35% of this company. Yeah. If you want them.
If you want back in, you got to pay it. You got to pay for it.
You could have been a partner, John. You could have been in that meeting we just had before this podcast. You could have been sitting there.
This could be the John Carman show.
Equal vote and everything. You could have just been like, oh, they need my help?
It would have damaged the trust a little bit, I would have.
You would have been a hostile partner.
Who needs
partner?
Trust when you got wealth, son? When you got YouTube riches.
But if you're going to play the games, right, you go sus. I was like, hey, what's one? You know, Freddie called Matt a dick a bunch of times on the podcast. Maybe Matt would be on my side in these votes.
Tens of dollars.
Sussed out what the politics were in the room. Never know.
Never blew it, John. Next
but you did earn our Torah, so, you know.
Thank you, John.
Now that I know extortion works, so.
I mean, it works, definitely.
Certainly. Yeah. Anyway, the laptop's not coming back, ladies and gentlemen. That's the update.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Was it the Razer one? Suck.
No.
Mac?
It was my MacBook Air.
Air. That's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
It's a bummer.
It's a bummer.
And I got it almost a year ago to the day.
On his birthday.
On my birthday.
An honest Uber driver returned my 5S a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. Drove back.
all the way from Loma Linda.
That's because they know.
Couple days later to return it.
That's because they know that's just tracked. That's got GPSs and stuff in it.
You know? Yeah. Oh, I knew exactly where it was. Yeah.
I've heard stories of people chasing down cab drivers and Ubers now with Find My Mac turning into like some impromptu 1970s heist film where they hop into another cab and like follow that car. Yes. Like, trying like they, I know that my laptop is in here. My phone is, my iPad is here somewhere.
That's great.
There are actually stories of that now where people have used that, tracked down where their devices are, gone to that apartment complex that's in, and just start pounding on doors. And police are basically like, guys, please don't do that.
But then again, these people are criminals.
But to be fair, the police isn't really offering any sort of alternative to that either. They're like, guys, don't do that. Just let us know, and we'll continue to sit on it and not get your stuff back for you. Anyway.
One time, I dropped my phone in the street, and the guy who found it called me and had me meet him at a gas station to give it back. And I was like, wow, on the way there, I was like, wow, like, what a selfless act. You know, there is some good left in the world. And I got to the gas station and gave it back. And I was like, thanks so much, man. He's like, yeah. So how about refilling that tank? And I was just like, all right.
Nice. He met at a gas station.
How about refilling that tank? That's code.
Was that code? You start filling up his car, and you just saw him going,
tank.
No, not that tank.
John Cluey doesn't know the gas station code there. Refill the tank is code for
pump some gas, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Self-serve,
am I
actually
filling or am I pumping?
Little full serve.
You're refilling.
You're
not the first of the day, John.
He had to check his wiper fluid, if you know what I mean.
Ooh.
A little full service.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Make that bell ding.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He wants
kids,
the premium.
Tweet what you think we're talking about.
Hashtag face rocker.
So we're in the middle of episode 4 of Video Game High School as we're recording this. Just came out this week. And I know, Matt, you were pretty pumped, excited for, anticipatory towards the release of this episode, particularly because of kind of crazy.
It's just the weirdest, most interesting episode. I mean, I think, you know, we binged the season, so we kind of already got everybody's. We knew what the general response was right away, pretty much after like 3 hours after we put it up, because we saw what everybody thought.
The people who bought everything.
Yeah, and you know, there's always.
Which, by the way, if you haven't bought everything, it's still time.
Buy VGHS.rocketjump.com
and get the whole season.
Help fund Freddy's new laptop. Instead of a new Indiegogo for
cheap.
Freddy's laptop.
Not cheap.
They're not cheap. Yeah, yeah. How do you think we're going to make the next show? Freddy needs a laptop.
Yeah, when I'm losing laptops willy-nilly.
I don't know. It's just always interesting to see if the YouTube response is different. Because it's different for people waiting a week. It's different for, you know. It's not just the YouTube crowd. It's the YouTube crowd that comments on YouTube. Which is different than even people who watch it on YouTube.
That's true.
If you comment on YouTube, more than likely you're young. You're probably 10 to 14. You know, and there's a lot of good comments on there, but there's, you know, let's just be honest.
Stop.
There are good comments on there. You go watch, and there are some people, you pointed one out, the guy broke down like the show like more in depth than we do. Like, it was great. And then, you know, this episode, a lot of people like talking about their experiences and stuff, but 95% of YouTube comments are complete and utter garbage. And garbage, not even like liking it or not liking it. Even people that like it, it's just nonsense.
It's
posting a weird stream of consciousness.
Well, I remember, Matt, you had an analogy for what YouTube comments are like, which is a bunch of people sitting in a room with headphones on, screaming at the ceiling, whatever first question pops into their mind.
It's like everybody's watching the show, but they're at a different part of the episode, mm-hmm. and you have headphones and blinders on, and you're in a room, you can feel everybody else, and you're just screaming, and you're not hearing anybody else, and you don't know if anybody else has heard you. It's just this weird stream of consciousness of people saying stuff. But, yeah, no, the response was good. People liked it more than... I would never thought it would have been less divisive than episode 2. I definitely assumed that a good chunk of people. But I feel like if you already didn't like that this season was more dramatic, then you wouldn't have liked this episode.
You made a motion, for those of you who are not here, a very dismissive motion around the word dramatic for this season.
Well, because it's weird. It's like I never thought it was, like, up until episode 4, I never thought the show was dark.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, stuff happens in 3,
I don't think anybody
like,
did.
But, like, it's not, like, any more, like, crazy to me than, like, you know, Jenny getting angry at her mom. And it's, like, the darkest scene of episode 3 is, like, involves a Tamagotchi, like, virtual pet, like, dying. So it's, like, we never, you know, it's just, it's not even that it's, like, darker. It's just as weird and silly and dumb. I think it's just kind of more in tune with the style, I guess. I don't know. What do you think, John, though?
Of the
episode? Darker?
Oh, of course. Dark? Yeah. I mean, there's just scenes where it's, like, just someone cries, you know, in their parents' bed. And that's it.
Well, no. Episode 4 for sure. Like, it's a little toned.
Oh, yeah. 3 is definitely I mean, like, just from the bat with one, when Ted gets thrown into...
Yeah, that's true.
And he's bleeding. He's bleeding profusely.
That's a lot of blood.
We actually got into a little bit of a Reddit debate over that. Some people. They're like, I think that was an unrealistic amount of blood. And then people were like, hey,
No, it was a realistic amount of blood.
The moment you bleed from your nose,
it was scarily realistic. It was a lot of blood. Very realistic. A little scary.
If you've ever been hit in the nose to the point where it's going to bleed, or even in the head is like the most blood. Yeah, it's like if you get a cut in your head, it's just like you feel like you're dead because it's like you get a tiny cut and it's like, oh my god,
I'm dead.
Yeah, well,
I feel dead.
This is what death is.
I ran into a metal shelf like in high school during a film shoot. We were filming in some abandoned place, and I was doing like a tracking shot. I just ran straight into a corner of a metal shelf. Sliced like my head open, not enough to even need stitches. It was like Braveheart. It was like, I mean, it was just instantly blood from here down to my knees within like 3 seconds. Everybody starts screaming like, oh my god, what happened? Matt, are you dead? I'm like, I don't know, I'm bleeding a lot.
Matt, are you dead?
Yeah. Matt, are you dead?
Matt, are you dead?
I'm still talking.
I feel like this feels like I'm dead.
This must be what death is, guys. This is it.
I only know two emotions, alive and dead. Hey, Matt, how you feeling today? Alive, more dead today. But it's, I mean, it's just you bleed a lot. So, yeah, if you've ever been hit in the nose, it's a lot of blood.
Like, John, what is the worst injury you've ever sustained to your face?
I wish you had just punched him. I wish it was a pause.
How about John?
Just hit him.
Worst injury to my face.
Well, you think about that, Dez. What's the worst facial injury you've ever sustained?
He was answering.
No, I didn't have... Dez, you got some good stuff.
I've had a broken nose on the last podcast. I talked about getting hit in the head with a baseball bat.
Yeah, there you go. John, what about you?
Split my head open.
Do you bleed?
I haven't really broken any shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't happen in the face. One time, I...
met a guy at a gas station.
Refilled his tank.
I tripped and on an escalator, you know, and they have those kind of like...
Yeah. Wait, you know, wait, back up. You tripped on an escalator?
Yeah, I was rushing.
You were running up the escalator.
Stationary. Okay, right, I was in a hurry.
I tripped
on
in
a
an
Chicago
elevator.
Escalator, a dirty Chicago escalator, and it fucking tripped and the edge went into my knee. And I didn't think anything of it. I didn't feel... It was like, that hurt. You know, there was a hole in my jeans, but it was like... whatever, and then I got back to my apartment and took off the pants, and it looked like a gunshot in my knee. It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was awful. It was bleeding so much, and I didn't know what to do.
He's also gross looking because it's right there at the skin surface, and it's bone.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it looks, like you just
hit
it by like a bullet hole.
So I was freaking out. I hit my knee hard. I haven't, like, I don't sustain many injuries. I'm not very... active dude, you know, so I called an ambulance, you know.
No way.
Again,
the already strained Chicago emergency services had to respond to your escalator knee injury.
That's
well, it was in a white neighborhood, so they were pretty quick, but that's another story altogether.
Oh my god,
how fast
sad.
Did the ambulance show up for your knee injury?
Quite quickly. It was about 15.
How many gunshot deaths are there in Chicago in the South Side?
Well, the thing about Chicago is that the hospitals are located in white neighborhoods, so there's a lot of deaths from gunshots because they go to the black neighborhoods and it takes them a while, and then by the time it gets back,
philosophically, by the way, I always thought that Chicago is a really interesting microcosm in terms of like what is the most quintessentially American city. And my argument is Chicago because it's a huge, diverse race group of people. It's the architecture and the sort of like forward thinkingness of America embodied in one place. And then also it's insanely segregated. Mm-hmm. Like, and insanely divided
by
class.
They invented a term for Chicago exclusively called hyper segregation.
Mm-hmm. It's like, ridiculously so.
But like, why is that quintessential America?
I don't know. It's just, I feel like this, but
I feel like that's not.
No,
we're not hyper segregated.
No. But I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that the one to one to like being segregated. But in terms of like these racial, this sort of weird class racial thing that is the undercurrent, because it's a part of that city very much so, mm-hmm. despite the veneer of the sort. You know, it's like sort of very much a part of it. From
what do you think of the quintessential American city, John?
I've not traveled.
Anyway, my worst facial injury. I cut myself shaving once. That's it. Yeah.
Is that the worst injury to your face?
Into my face.
That's the worst injury in general.
In general, I've been very fortunate. I've never broken anything. I've never ruptured anything.
Yeah.
Probably the worst was this is a good story. I was biking one time, just like, oh yeah, going down the hill by my house. And Jimmy was out on the street and for no discernible reason. Just because we were kids and he was a little shit. Like, he took a rock and threw it at me as hard as he could while I was biking. It hit me. It caused me to skid out of control and then fall and skid along the gravel.
Yes.
And I had rocks coming, rocks all in my wounds and stuff. It was there was a rock in my knee that was there for a year. It didn't come out of my body until after I swam a year later. That's how bad it was.
I got two quick bike stories. One of them, Benji got a brand new bicycle after complaining for years. We didn't have a lot of money growing up, so my mother would always, for Christmas, spray paint our old bikes to look like new bikes. Very sweet, but you're covered in sticky spray paint when you go to ride your bike.
Did you do it like a few days beforehand? It was very sweet.
Well, it was a few days beforehand, but you know, it's, like, yeah, it's just like off-the-shelf Home Depot spray paints on an aluminum bicycle. It doesn't work all that well. Benji gets a brand new bike, and I looked at it every day for weeks. I was like, that is the coolest. It was chrome. I don't even know what kind of bike it was, but man, it was awesome.
Huffy.
10th birthday Huffy, chrome, pegs, everything. It was the coolest thing ever. And one day, Benji was asleep. I was like, today's the day. Oh, I took the bike, rode it down to the school, the playground, and I was like, I'm going to hit some sweet tricks because this bike is
made for it.
Yeah, I need this so bad. I'm going to rip it up on this bike. First wheelie I tried to pop, I flipped over backwards, like broke everything, ripped my body into pieces, and destroyed his bike. Just grated.
Where, did you go off a ramp?
I don't even remember.
Is this a wheelie? How do you do a wheelie that you broke everything at his bike?
It was going to be one epic
imagine if you pulled it off, Matt. You'd be hearing about it.
You're so far off the ground. Just wondering what you're trying to do.
I walked that bike back.
Were you doing a wheelie like across a jungle gym bar?
I was riding hard and fast, and I wanted to do something awesome. And I didn't know. I had never done a bike trick before. I just thought magically this bike is so rad. I will now
I'm just going to yank this handlebar this way, and everyone will think
so
I'm
so embarrassed that I wrecked his new bike.
Did you cry?
I was very upset. I don't remember if I cried or not, but it was one of those things where I was so embarrassed. I just kind of like quietly put it back in the garage and didn't say anything about it. Oh, so embarrassing. Yeah. One time I was at USC riding home from class, and a total Looney Tunes moment. I'm like drinking a coffee with one hand and talking on my cell phone on the other.
Sorority girl?
And then I realize, like Wile E. Coyote status, that I'm not using my hands to steer my bicycle. I'm like, oh my God. And I, for like 5 seconds, I'm thinking to myself, for the last 5 minutes, I've been drinking coffee and talking on the cell phone, and I haven't been steering my bicycle. And it was in that moment that I realized I didn't have my hands on the steering wheel, that my bike fell into a hole, and I flipped over the handlebars, tumbled in front of, God, there was always so many kids riding bikes at school.
Some like sororities.
Right by the row there.
That guy's so
incredibly embarrassing. I landed on my coffee. My coffee exploded on my chest and flew up into my face.
Ripped everything apart. Screaming.
Scolding hot. Ripped holes in all my clothes.
All the sorority sisters are like, oh my God.
That's what you recover just by looking. You just look at them and you just pretend you're on the phone with like a stock market. You're like, I could get another bike. Anyways, back to my deal. And he just walk away from your bike.
Oh no, it was so bad. So embarrassing. Bent the front wheel so I couldn't even ride it home. I just had to like drag it sideways. Oh, no. Everyone's looking at me like laughing.
I once nutted myself on a skateboard in front of half of the school. The worst.
I was in
that main quad area, and they had one of these plastic ramps that was like that they would run cable under. Uh-huh. I was like, "Yo, I've been working on my ollie. I'm gonna be able
this to ollie USC? This."
This is a USC.
You're popping ollies at USC.
Like, well, my goal with the skateboard in college was very basic. It was to be able to manual convincingly for a while because I really like the feeling of doing a manual. It's popping the wheelie on a skateboard, and to be able to ollie 6 inches, which would then allow you to get to anywhere you want. By not having to get off the board, you could get up on curbs. That's all you would need. Mm-hmm. 6 inches of an ollie. That's all. That's it. No tricks, kick flips, heel, shifty. None of it. Don't just want
to
jump
get from here to there,
from the ground to the curb.
Mm-hmm.
So I see this, thing. I'm like, you know what? I've been working on the ollie. I think I can get this.
I got it.
So I'm going. I'm pushing off. Boom! Kick off. Ollie starts with your back foot slamming the tail into the ground, bringing your front foot up. Perfect execution. Next step: level the board out. Using your front foot, and get to a sort of position where you're crouched in the air. Perfect. Board's in the right place. Feet are in the right place. Well,
Mine's in the right place. Freddie is on top of the world.
On top of the world. Good speed, good clearance, good height. Perfect.
No pants.
Part three of
that's
anomaly.
That's what I looked down and realized.
That's naked.
That's when I realized that my dingleberries were flapping in the wind.
If you had the right attitude, you could have won that day if you were naked and doing perfect
doing
manual.
The perfect ollie. Part three of the ollie is where I screw up. Part three is when you come back down, both feet then reattach to the board, slam down on the board, catch it. You're catching board midair. You're going to land on the board. Front foot by the front trucks, back foot by the back trucks. Evenly balanced, weight distribution 50-50, all good. Here's where I screwed up. Back foot on the tail. Survivable, because if you have your front foot in the middle of the board, it's okay.
You can
balance off it. Front foot, not on the board. It's completely off the board. Okay. Off to the left.
You missed.
Here's what happens. When you land, now imagine like slamming down your whole body as hard as you can, jumping in the air, all your weight into the tail, which causes the front of the board to flip upwards into your now almost spread eagle leg position. The front of the board whips upwards right into the gonads. Like a catapult.
Gonads.
All of my weight plus that just straight into
gonads
the...
In forever.
Just straight into the gonads. That's every laugh.
Freddy's always used gonads. He doesn't refer to them as anything else.
Straight into the frankenbeans, man. And all my weight. It just... Whoops, and then like...
Was on one of the fountains or the curb?
It was by the main fountain, the library, and the
Trogram.
Where everybody's sitting there studying.
Everyone's sitting there studying. Everyone's walking back and forth.
You made everybody's day.
Yeah, you heard it across the quad, and I went, and like immediately, my first reaction, start crying. Like it was so painful that like my tears welled up.
No man will judge you for that.
And then I can't walk because I was about to collapse on it. But I was like, if I land right here and I just lay down right here, I can't. This will be too much.
Mm-hmm.
I have to make it to the fountain and be able to sit down. And so I walk this excruciating 20 feet over, and then I sit down, pain radiating through all the middle part of your body, all around the balls, hands. Head in my hands, and I sat like that without moving, crying silently for an hour. That's how bad it hurts. So that's probably actually the worst accident
that's
ever had.
Yeah, that hurts.
I never got hurt that bad.
Really?
My brother had a similar thing with his bike though. We lived on this place where we lived on a hill, and we had this awesome for us as kids, awesome driveway that was like three S-turns up like a steep hill. It was like nightmare to climb up. One time a new postman tried to drive the truck up it, realized he couldn't make it, tried backing up and got into the flowers and was just stuck. Never told us. We just sat up in our house watching him on the hill for like 7 hours, like calling. A tow truck came. They just like shook their heads, walked away. He never came like, hey, I'm in your flowers. Yeah. Like, sorry, I'll get out of there. But it was great because every bike ride started with a roller coaster ride. Like, hell yeah, like go down this sweet
S-curve thing chicanes,
and go down.
Baby.
And, you know, I was a little older than my brother and he was still on his training wheels all on. And then he got a bike. He got a brand new bike. And he was so excited. He went on top of the hill. And I was like, maybe he should start in the middle of the hill. He was like, no, I'll go on top of the hill. He's going through the S-curves. He goes, and he's like going so fast that when he gets out onto the street, he just doesn't know how to like turn. So he just goes out this S-turn, just across the street, just goes straight into the curb across the street.
Wow.
Like, so flips over, hits the mailbox, like splits his head, is bleeding, his bike totally bent his front wheel and completely ruined his bike.
Oh.
His first moment out, completely destroyed his bike.
Oh, God.
It was horrible. The other thing, though, is that we... On that same hillside, it was like, I don't know what used to be there, but we found a ton of newspaper prints, like old newspaper prints, which are essentially just big pieces of plastic, like the size of newspaper. And we would ride, and we were like, hey, we can get these, we can ride down these hills. And we kind of lived up in the Monterey Hills, so there's a lot of like backyard where there's no houses, and there's like forests and cliffs and stuff we could find. And there's a path that we'd always use to climb up this like 30-foot cliff about. And we're like, dude, this is great. We could sled down this like rocky mountain with these boards. And there's like a place where you walk up and it's pretty much straight, but there's one little slight turn. We're like, it's great though. It's like a bobsled. You just
lean
like,
into it, man.
You just lean into it. So we all have our sheets. Oh, we all picked out our sheets. And we're all ready to go. And we're like, all right. And
wait,
our
are these
neighbor,
like plastic sheets?
They're just big plastic sheets. So super smooth. One side is the print of the newspaper, and they're all like, it was cool. It's all like the 1970s. You could like read it from backwards. It was really neat.
So it was like, it was a used to print newspaper.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like a giant stamp, the size of a whole sheet of newspaper. And so the oldest friend of our neighbor's like, I'll go first. We see the turn. You can see the turn and then turns to the trees. He goes, hits the turn, just instantly goes off, falls like 20 feet into trees and brush, breaks something, just completely injured. Yeah, it was horrible. None of us went down there. That was great though.
Did you ever hit the zip line
where
at the old place?
No, I was not going to take that risk.
Oh, I took that risk once. I felt like I had to. I was like, oh man, I'm not going to be a man unless I, I'm not complete unless no, I show to these guys, show these guys, you know, I'm cool, I'm hip, I'm young, I can hit this zip line. Before you guys put a handle on the zip line, do you remember? It was a leather shoelace.
Yeah, it was a, well, it wasn't, it was, a, was it? It was climbing rope. It was climbing rope that was like knotted together.
It was like a very thin piece of leather string of sort. And I'm like, okay, it wasn't long enough to wrap around your hand multiple times. You just kind of grasp it, and I jumped over the balcony, and I'm not exactly a svelte individual. There just wasn't anything to hold on to, and I went straight down.
You just jumped off the balcony.
I jumped off of the balcony.
And where you made your mistake was you jumped. Because what happened was then as you went down, you, all your weight plus the gravity.
All that extra inertia of leaping, and I went straight down and burst the sacks. In my knees.
Oh, burst your sacks.
Yeah, burst my sacks. Burst my gonads, boys. Couldn't walk for 3 days. I laid in bed. I had to crawl back to my place. And I was pretty messed up. Man.
I like the version where you burst your gonads.
I burst my sacks.
I like the version where you landed perfectly on 2 feet and your gonads burst.
Explode outwards. Welcome back with much needed pizza break. We're going to do a quick lightning round of VGHS questions. But first, Dez, I think you have a very important winner to announce.
Yes, we do. We have an announcement. First of all, we want to thank everyone who participated in last podcast giveaway contest for the Blu-ray combo pack. We got a lot of cool tweets and whatnots from all of you fans out there who saw cool VGHS marketing and promotion all over your hometown. So we wanted to announce the winner is at House of Gaming. House of Real Gaming.
He's a real gamer, man.
He's a real gamer. House of Real Gaming. Thank you very much for participating. We'll get out to you. And
what did he win?
He won a...
Check your DMs, bro.
Check your DMs,
What did he win?
He won a VGHS Seasons 1 and 2 Blu-ray combo pack.
Ooh, it's a good one. Good commentary in those.
We'll surprise you with a little extra merch, too. There's a little something extra in there for you.
You got a little pack. You got a pack of merch.
We've been fielding...
champion pack.
Hey, congratulations. We've been fielding questions for VGHS
tweets
through the Twitter.
I feel like me and Freddy talk a lot on Twitter already about this.
His name's Josh Perez.
Josh Perez. Congratulations.
Wait, are we live? Is he listening?
Thanks for listening,
now?
Man.
No, Matt's not
live. No, we're not live. On. You know how this works.
All right. Okay.
You know, you hear a lot from Matt and I, but you don't hear about the, who you don't hear from, is the Rocket Jump PR voice of the people, and that's John Carmen over here. So John Carmen will help us out.
He's got a unique
with answering these questions.
Unique
John,
viewpoint
you ready for this?
On things.
I'm ready.
And he knows address the microphone as much about VGHS as we do. He was there from the beginning. He's been in every room.
He was there since season 2.
And frankly, he's pretty much a co-director. So let's have John Carmen answer as many of these VGHS questions as fast as possible.
Okay, here we go. Matt, hit him up.
Any chance I'm putting the FPS Team Jacket Windbreaker on sale on Rocket Jump? I will promise I will buy one. Are those coming out on the store?
John?
Yeah.
John,
Oh, yeah. They're coming. And it's going to be cheap.
Neither of those things
are
true. Do you guys have any plans of making another series or continuing this series in the future?
No. It's done. Maybe in an animated show.
But how about
maybe?
They asked the other series. Do we have a plan of any other series?
Yes. But it's secret.
When can we expect...
I like John's no-nonsense attitude,
yeah,
by the way.
This is good.
Cut right to the chase. I like it, John.
When can we expect...
Hey, let's take a quick second there. Matt, a lot of complaints. A lot of complaints about the season being done. What's up with that, Matt?
What do you mean it's done?
I know. No, what's up with that? I know.
Yeah,
what's
I know.
Keep going, Matt.
It's done.
There's some pretty interesting responses for people who I know this were like, this can't be done. You guys... like, there was one in particular where I got into a little bit of a discussion on Reddit.
Are you fine, people? Why are you fighting people?
I'm not fighting them. I wanted to know more about this guy's opinion on stuff because he was like, this is stupid. You guys are dumb because you didn't answer all the questions. And I was like, all of fiction must be remarkably frustrating for you because like Harry Potter, there were more questions. There's always more questions, right?
Until they die. And you've introduced no character that is continuing on after that death.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd be like, wait, what happened to this kid? Where is this kid going?
So I don't know. I hope.
The episode's not... Some people haven't watched the episode by the time this goes up, but the story's done. We're done telling it. My favorite was like, why are these guys not telling season 4? They must just be lazy.
Yeah, it's because
I was like, what?
Sure,
one,
thanks. You know
I
what?
Am, but I was lazy during the production of seasons 1, 2, 3. That has nothing to do with us not doing
that
season 4.
That's not the new.
Four.
This ain't new.
Yeah, man. You know, whatever you feel like happens to those characters afterwards, it's all up to you,
hey,
man.
Can we take a moment,
They're
though?
All, you know, all those characters are in a better place. You know, just
can
let
we
them,
take a moment?
Because they all died at the end of episode 6. They're all in a better place.
Yeah, that was
sorry,
crazy.
Spoilers, everybody.
Who knew the nuke would go off?
I know. I mean, that was pretty
nice. Well, that's the thing, right?
The reveal was that the game was real, so when they
right,
lose
when
at
died
the end,
in the
they
game.
All actually died. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Crazy, right?
That's never been done before.
No, never.
It was a pretty big twist, actually. I'm quite proud of that one.
Anyways, a good book, a good story should be, you should want more when it's done. Yeah, we're done.
Disagree.
Okay.
Didn't want any more Harry Potter after that was done.
Really?
Yeah, it's done with
that. I'm satisfied. I want so much more. I would drop everything in my life to even have a hint of being part of the Harry Potter universe. That's how good that universe
is. How would
is.
You be a part of it? What do you want?
Anyway, if they were like, hey, Matt, if you just leave everything behind, I'll make
incredible.
You have magic and you can go to Hogwarts. I'd be like, so long, everybody. I was indulging in an immature decision, but I am going.
There was an incredible thread the other day that was horrifying implications of the Harry Potter universe, if real. Like mm-hmm. one of which was, wizards have access to clean, renewable energy and are not sharing it with anybody and using it for bullshit like cleaning up their house.
Going yeah. the wrong hands.
Like, that's horrible.
Well, you know what's funny about the Harry Potter? And again, I would totally read more Harry Potter. But that's a perfect example whereas, like, I would say, I mean, I didn't mind. I actually really liked the seventh book and I even liked the ending. But the number one complaint of that book was the epilogue, which is exactly what a lot of people want. Like, hey, where's the epilogue so we can see, you know, what they're doing later. Like, who cares? They're like, whatever, they're fine. Like, think about it. They're you know, everybody's friends. They're doing their life. They're who knows what's going on with Brian, Ted, Jenny, and Aki. But the last thing everybody wanted was the epilogue, because if that epilogue's not exactly what you imagine their life to continue to be, it's just frustrating. It's like, oh, wait, I don't like that they got married. I don't like this. I don't like that. And even then, I think it's more appropriate in Harry Potter, because I think the epilogue has a thematic purpose.
Yes,
in it,
course.
Whereas so an epilogue, for us, wouldn't have any thematic purpose. It would just be to indulge the audience, to let the to just
well, can
reinforce
we just,
that they
can
have.
We just say what actually does happen to all the characters at the end of the series?
No, we shouldn't.
10 years later. Is Key invents the rocket ship, they blast off to Mars, they live happily ever on Mars.
Yep, that's what happens. Yep. Yeah.
Was anyone else creeped out by the film version of Harry Potter's epilogue, where they're all in, like, crappy old people
makeup? Makeup was not great. I don't know if I was creeped out. I just was like, oh, that's not great makeup. Yeah.
But Matt,
I was creeped
you...
out. I was like, whoa, oh, I can't watch this anymore.
Oh, creepy. No, turn it off. Oh, thank God it's over.
It's a bunch of 20-year-olds made up to look like 50-year-olds.
Yeah, I don't creepy. Know. It's like a, you know, it's a stage play or something. Same thing.
Except it's $150 million.
John Carter will not stand.
I put it this way. It's a tough decision because to cast new actors for that epilogue would have been equally weird.
Yes.
I think. It would have just been like you've watched him for 7 seasons. Like the fact that it's the same actors from age 10 and 9 to like age 23 or whatever, it would have been weird for the final moment to suddenly not use those actors and just be like, hey, I'm a British actor.
Hello,
never heard of
I'm Harry.
I'd be like, who the hell is this guy? Why is it not Daniel Radcliffe? I've watched him for 7, 8, 9 years or whatever. So,
dude, you
would have
loved
decision.
To see like Jim Broadbent as like.
Well, what they should have done. That's all that would have been though. Be like, oh, hey, they got Jim Broadbent.
Jim Broadbent was already in the show.
He's already a character.
He's in the movie. He's there. Everybody.
They've already used every British actor in the country for those movies. Nobody left.
They milked that country dry.
They're like, oh man, I guess we just got to keep the same actors because there's nobody else we can use. John, how was your experience from 1 to 10 on creating VGHS?
On creating, yeah. Well, I'd give it a 7 because I got to be involved with.
I like it.
No, okay.
What was that?
I feel you.
Oh, I feel it. Okay.
I concur.
Yeah, and I'd give it a 7 because I got to be involved. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have to have that burden of, you know, running the whole thing, so I could just reap the benefits, you know.
Yeah,
without much of the hard work.
Look at that sweet sweater you're
just
wearing.
Just along for the ride.
Yeah, you know, we ride the coattails. You
one, can only, company mugs.
Yeah. One can only hope to do it to get as much fun out of as little work as possible. In life.
I feel like that's John's life. It's like I had 7. I didn't have too much,
yeah,
but
had a good ratio of having fun and a good time to doing no work.
Viewers would be so disappointed that we're not answering any of these, but do you feel that the VGHS animated version might sort of ruin a bit of the realistic side of VGHS?
Realistic side? Yeah. No, not one bit. In fact, I think it would improve the aesthetic because the show is essentially a live action cartoon.
By the way, good answer, John. You know what's strange to me? I thought that Adventure Time had done a little more path clearing in this regard because my thought was Well, okay, post Adventure Time, post regular show, post all of these, just Rick and Morty, all of these really amazing sort of like animations are coming out now, more so probably almost any other time, maybe even the history of animation on the U.S. side of things.
I mean, there's a time period where there's a guy named Chuck Jones, and there is the premium Looney Tunes and Disney. Which
no, but I'm saying, but it was just
greatest
him,
output of.
No, but to be fair, it was just him. It wasn't. I mean, it was him and like Hanna-Barbera. Hanna-Barbera was doing like the low end cheapo. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a whole thing going.
There's
on.
There's good animation going on right now. Yes,
and there's a lot of variety of creators pushing forward. Right, I would think that people would be like, "Oh, we're going to do an animated show." Their reaction would be like, "Oh, cool." But like, there's been a lot of people being like, "Ugh, animation." It's like, really? I thought that they had, I thought that like, you know, Rick and Morty.
There's people who watch anime stuff. They're like, I would watch it if it wasn't.
No, I know. I just, I guess
action,
what I'm saying,
you
know, is,
well, I'm saying like, haters gonna hate.
I just, that's good. That's,
they're always gonna be there.
Wise words of advice from John Carman. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I feel like, I thought Rick and Morty did a little more for that genre.
I feel like a lot of the audience doesn't watch Rick and Morty. Also,
that's
here's the thing. A lot of the people are attached specifically to those characters and those actors.
That's
especially
true.
Young artists, like they attach specifically to, you know, Jimmy Wong as Ted, and you know, it doesn't matter if it's an animated series. They're just, it's not the same thing for them.
That's fair. So, that's fair.
But again, it's a totally different show. It'll be good. Hopefully. How do you?
Fingers crossed, everybody.
John Carman.
Yes.
Okay. How do you keep up the fun in your shoots, even with all those sad and emotional scenes?
Ooh.
Well, I would bring lots of, you know, like jokes and stuff to like break the ice, you know.
Cool.
So,
like what?
Bring them.
Yeah, you know, like on note cards. I can't remember all of them.
Okay. No, just you only have to remember one, John.
No.
John, why are you breaking the ice
because
at the start of your emotional scene?
Because the tension is high. And, you know, we're here to make movies. We're here to have fun. You know, we're
John,
the makers of dreams.
John, sure. What's your go-to joke? Your ice-breaking joke?
What?
That's why he brings them with him.
He's gotta, he brings them to his tense emotional shoots.
Really? You know, just jokes on tap?
Jokes on tap.
Dez, do you have any jokes on tap?
No.
Matt?
No.
Guys,
red and bad for your teeth.
What's red and bad for your teeth?
A brick.
A brick.
There you go. I like that.
You guys don't have jokes on tap? You gotta have J on T's.
Next question.
Next question.
Quick, real quick.
Would you make
two fish are in a tank? And one of them turns to the other and says, "Hey, do you know how to drive this thing?"
John Carman. would you make a video game summer school for those who didn't pass?
Yes.
Great.
Great.
Wait, video game summer school. Let's think about this for a second.
John Carman, Ethan asks, "Can I go to VGHS? JK, but seriously."
Can I wait? Someone wants to actually go to VGHS. If you induce yourself into a coma, there's a very good chance that you can create the reality.
John. Okay, legally, we need to disavow anything that our spokesperson just said on this podcast. We do not.
We do not condone the views expressed by John Carman on this Face Rocker podcast.
John Carman.
We're hereby severing any association with Carman and his.
Hashtag John Carman. Let's get John Carman trending here.
Yeah.
Who is on the editing team for Video Game High School? Do you divide that group into subgroups?
Funnily enough, it was just me. And you guys would like beat on my door and be like,
let's look at the footage, Sean.
And they'd be like, change this. And I'd be like, you know what? No. And I would just like you'd be like, cut this down, John. This is way too long. This needs to be like 25 minutes tops. And I'm like, no, these have to be at least 40 minutes each. Because when people go on YouTube, what do they want to watch? 40-minute videos. That's what I told them. We're successful.
You were right. We were wrong. We admit it.
And it's really nice of you to not, you know, have to put yourself in the credits and everything. That's like,
I took one for the team.
Yeah, man.
That's gracious.
That's why we keep you on board. John Carman, what does the Lionsgate partnership entail?
Lots of cheese platters. Lots of massages.
I will say, by the way, and we actually stole this. So one of the currencies in Hollywood, for all you kiddos listening at home, is gift baskets.
The big plush gift baskets.
Gift baskets. Basket. You know, as ways of congratulating or marking an occasion or what have you. And there are many purveyors of gift baskets around the Southern California area. Lionsgate found this gift basket where, because most of the time gift baskets about 50-50, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, this part's these are good, and then I get a crack.
There's always carcass of a gift basket 4 months later that you continually come to, and it's just like, oh, raisins and like something.
I saw a gift basket once with hummus in it. Like, who? What? pita and hummus? That's not a gift basket. That's why you pick up at Trader Joe's. You know what I mean? Like, gift baskets are something above and beyond the hummus. Trader Joe's.
You're saying you want unhealthy stuff.
No, I'm just saying hummus is... It's ground up chickpeas and oil. I don't need that in
delicious.
My that's
good.
Gift basket.
Give me your hummus,
like specialty
bro.
Hummus, like flavored and stuff.
Know.
Like,
okay, I just can't abide.
I mean, if that's
brook.
All that was in the gift basket, I agree.
It was a centerpiece. But I will say, LG, they know they got their gift basket game on.
It was a good
tight.
Gift basket.
They got a good gift basket. Mm-hmm. So from that point on, by the way, any gift baskets that we send out, we're like, what is this company?
Okay, there's a treasure answer. Gift baskets. Gift that's basket. All the relationship
much,
entails.
That's it.
Pretty much. We have a meeting every once in a while.
We feel like they
basket.
Were probably going to offer more in
they
hindsight.
Offered, they offered.
But we
they
signed
offered.
Up when we heard gift basket, and there's no turning back.
Yeah,
they offered
promise,
a lot, but
wait the for them to finish your sentence before, you know what I'm saying? Like, the deal was cut, and they're like, we're going to give you guys a gift basket. We're like, done.
Done.
And it sounded like they had something else, but, you know, we'll never know.
Yep.
John Carman.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
Does Freddy actually know how to ride a motorcycle?
No. That is completely CG. We got the team from Avatar to recreate Freddy photorealistically and put him on a motorcycle. He does no idea what he's doing.
And you did those effects.
Me, of course.
Yeah.
Entirely.
You're part of the Avatar team.
John actually was.
You are the Avatar.
That's a whole other story. John actually mo-capped the motorcycle.
Yeah.
He just sort of like squatted.
Oh, shit.
And,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yep. It's crazy.
Dots
that's
everywhere.
Impressive.
John Carman. Though it does fit with the hilarity of the show, why are there so many inconsistencies? Love EGHS, by the way.
Wait, such as?
Such as?
This isn't a docudrama about the uprising in Syria, okay?
Although, really
this
quick.
Is a video game high school.
Really quick. Like, for example, I will say, such as the fact that, like, the point system for expulsion got completely dropped by the second season, because F that.
Well.
Oh, no, here's actually a good one that Matt, someone mm-hmm. made a note of, that we actually did screw up on. And this is actually an honest God screw up. They said, they're like, hey, I was incredibly pissed that you showed Brian in episode 6 riding his bike without his helmet.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, yeah, that's actually.
Oh, crap.
Biking's a little different than motorcycle.
Yeah, but like.
You should ride a helmet.
You don't want to be that kid.
But to be fair.
Come on. Do not ride with a No, you should ride with a helmet. Legally
yeah,
ride,
no, seriously.
Legally ride
yeah,
with a helmet.
Yeah, we can't.
But those ones that was like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
That show would just look goofy if you had a helmet on. Like, it's just, you know. But that's a great point.
It's a good point. Ryan, wear helmets, kids. Please.
Look, it wasn't Brian's dad, so he didn't learn the lesson as well.
How many questions do we have left? Because we only have a few minutes left.
How many minutes we got?
We got three minutes.
3 minutes.
All right, here we go.
Lightning round.
Do they return to VGHS in episode 5, and do they graduate?
Yes, and no.
That was only two questions.
Take your pick.
What was your inspiration to make VGHS?
My mom.
Oh boy.
We're not gonna open up that can.
Will there be a season 4?
Huh?
Will there be a season 4?
No. God.
Was the death based on Lawrence of Arabia?
Yes.
Why did you make me cry in episode 4?
Because we could.
Next. Will there ever be a VGHS release on Blu-ray or DVD?
Yes. Next.
Wait, hold on. Back up. Yes.
Yeah,
come on, guys. It's our season 1 and 2.
Guys, come on.
It's already out. It's on our store. shop.rockjump.com. It's on our store.
If high school Matt and Freddie saw VGHS, what would they be most impressed by? The crazy action or the emotion?
Ooh, that's a good question, Matt.
In high school?
Yeah.
They'd probably be like, what the hell is this crazy invention called YouTube? I've never heard of it. They didn't invent one. It wasn't around when you were in high school.
You watch videos on the internet?
It's a show. What's this new thing?
Okay, anyway. Next.
Brady, you want to answer that? Or, I mean, this is the thing.
No, that's John's absolutely right. That's exactly what I sound like in high school, too.
Well, you actually make a career out of this.
Oh, it's circular.
This is the future.
Will you actually make a Field of Fire game?
Yes.
Well, can you stick to your word and return to VGHS?
No, come on, John.
I'm the one who...
He's answering.
All right.
Was killing Ted's dad, was that the scenario from the start?
Yes.
Are you guys still in contact with all the people on set and acting?
Yes, we have their emails. Next.
Who's the funniest behind the scenes, off and on camera?
Me, of course.
Real quick, no. It's Ethan and Joey.
It's season 3, 100% the last season.
What?
Is season 3 100% the last season?
Is this 100% the last? Yes. Yeah.
This kid just
John,
said,
John, don't be
I would tell you my opinion, but it seems like if it is not positive about the show, then it isn't welcome. That's not a question, but is he correct? Is it not welcome?
his crappy opinion about his dog? Yeah. No, it's not welcome.
Last four.
If you had to, this one you can answer. This was just like a weird question. If you had to get stuck with one VJHS actor or actress on an island for a month, who would it be?
Whoa.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. I'd have to go with Benji Dolly, because that guy can give a hell of a massage.
None of those things are true. What?
From the premise to the person to the everything. Just
what was it like on the last day on set, and what was the last scene you shot?
Last scene I shot was my cameo, and everyone gave me a standing ovation. They said, John, your presence on the set is unbeatable, and we love you, and...
There's a gift basket involved.
Like, right. There's a Lionsgate gift basket here.
Last two questions. What's it like being dead?
It's darkness. There's no afterlife. It's just pure nothingness.
And finally, how long have you known you wanted the show to end?
Since I met you guys, because it was just like...
That's it! There we go. That's the Face Harder Podcast. Thank you very much,
thank
John.
Thank you very much. Thank you, John Carmen, for joining us. Thank you, Alex Reeves, Point of Blue Studios. Alex Reeves, by the way, the only true American citizen in this entire office, because today was the day to vote, and he walked in here with an I voted sticker. I don't know if he got it off the ground.
There's another individual who will remain nameless, who did vote today, but he didn't wear his sticker, so you're disqualified.
Yep,
the sticker is disqualified. The sticker counts.
Alex Reeves,
point. It doesn't count unless you wear the sticker.
Not about the sticker.
Well, true blue American. By the way, if you're in Los Angeles.
Anyways, if you haven't gone to vote, you should go vote now.
You should go vote.
No, it's too late. It's too late.
Hey, congratulations, Alex.
Oh, real quick, Alex.
Congratulations. You got married. Alex Reeves got married, everybody.
Alex Reeves, off the market. He's got a lady, ladies and gentlemen. Also, if you're looking for recording services in the Los Angeles area, you should probably give him a call.
And finally, a quick shout out and congratulations to Jake Andrews, who has kept track of his laptop and has it currently in his hand.
What a dick! Yeah!